Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. It is a delight as always. It's Friday, the 16th of September, and we welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the panel to you this morning, and then we'll get started with the news of the day. And we begin with Dr. Alan Chartok, who joins us. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir, to you. That's a wonderful term. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you. We are very, let's see. Oh, all right. Okay. I was having a little computer issues. You know when you accidentally step on something and then everything, I put my arm down and then my computer screen went completely blank. But everything's okay now.
Yeah.
Rosemary Arme.
Or you step into something, Joe.
Well, that's true. That happens to me on more than one occasion in a week.
Alan just stepped into my interview, to my introduction.
Your introduction.
Hello. Well,
good morning.
How
Rosemary
are you,
Mayer.
Alan? How are you, everyone?
Director of the Journalism Department at the University at Albany, or Journalism Program, I should say, and author, activist Barbara Smith joins us. Good morning, Barbara.
Hi. Better late than never.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here.
And now divulging that I was running late, but here I am.
It's radio, no one knew, but it's very nice to have you here. Thank you very much. All right. So, again, roundtable at WAMC.org for information, you know, if you want to share your thoughts. And we love when you do that, usually. We talk about polls from time to time on the program and usually get raked over the coals for doing that. But the article in the New York Times this morning, I think, is an interesting one. That most voters consider Donald Trump a risky choice for president, saying he lacks the right temperament and values, but he is seen as more transformative and better at handling the economy than Hillary Clinton, according to the latest New York Times CBS poll. Voters' views of Donald Trump presidency, big risks, but also big rewards. Mrs. Clinton, despite being disliked as Mr. Trump, is seen as a safer option. Majorities of voters say that she has the temperament for the job and would better handle foreign policy. Only 36% of them, however, view her as an agent of change. What can we read in from these numbers? You were saying a long time ago, Rosemary, about Hillary's numbers, that it really wouldn't matter until we got a lot closer. Well, we're
much closer.
We're much closer now.
I was reading Nate Silver, who is the pollster and statistician that I trust the most, and he says that she appears to have lost the convention bump. He's not absolutely ready to say that, but close to it, and that overall the pattern still is steady and ahead for Hillary. So that's what I want to take away from the latest series of polls.
Alan?
Well, frankly, I'm scared to death. You know, I'm looking at the polls, and, you know, this Times has every day, you know, first it was Hillary 90 and Trump 10, and then it was Hillary, and it's going down and down and down. Now, we knew it was going to tighten, and it has tightened. But if he kept picking up a point or two every day on this probability scale, he'd be winning. And I'm very, very concerned about it and worried about it, because I just, for the life of me, can't figure out who these people are who don't see how dangerous the man is.
So about the poll that we were referencing a few moments ago, about people thinking that he is more of an
transformative
agent. Yeah, transformative and willing to take risks, and people like that, apparently.
Well, yes, but I'm sorry, Rosemary, go ahead, please.
Barbara.
I was going to say that the people who don't see how dangerous he is are, to coin a phrase, in that basket of deplorables. They're delighted with where he's coming from, and we'll be talking about that later, but it's all connected. He has tapped the zeitgeist of a significant portion of the U.S. populace, and the more vitriolic he is, the more hateful he is, the more ignorant he is, the better they like it.
Yep, it would appear so. I think there's also some other things in this time period that have affected the polls. She was out. She had that whole sickness thing. She took the month of August off to raise money. She was much less in the public eye than he was. The questions are bizarre, actually. Transformative. There's nothing in there to say whether you want that or not in a president. I think he would be transformative in a bad way.
Right.
Transformative doesn't mean good, just from the word.
Yeah, an apocalypse would be a transformation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, but I think that, to be fair, the people who are answering this question think it will be positive. I mean, that's what
based
transformative
on what do you
means
base that? What? Why do you think
based
that
on
out?
The fact that people don't say I think he'll be transformative if they think it's just it doesn't mean anything positive for them. I think they think it's going to be transformative for them. I don't have any doubt about that. So you can take comfort, guys, wherever you can. But this is not a comfortable situation.
And to get back to the bigotry part of this, for them, putting a large swaths of the U.S. population in their place would be transformative and would be
apocalyptic.
You know, yes, but it would also be quite sufficient for them to live with whatever other madness he would bring about, like, for example, a nuclear war, a failed economy. Mm-hmm. That's all of that would be okay if certain people got put back in their place. And some of them some of them would not even be put in their place because they'd never get here to get into a place. So they would be excluded even from these borders.
That's right, Barbara. And I know that we are going to see we're going to talk about this later, but everything sort of fits together in the jigsaw puzzle. So as of yesterday in the Washington Post interview, Trump is saying that Barack Obama wasn't born in this country again, even though his campaign then comes. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Rosemary?
I just was agreeing with y'all, and he's back on that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it plays to exactly what Barbara is saying, put these people back in their places. So if transformative is to be seen in that way, I think Barbara is spot on.
I just want to we're going to take a quick break. We're having some issues where people are having trouble hearing Alan's mic. So we're going to take a break. We're going to get that fixed, and we'll come back. So we'll take a few moments. We'll come back. We'll see you on the other side, and then you'll be able to hear us all. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Susan G. Komen, Northeastern New York, announcing Race for the Cure 5K Run and Walk for Breast Cancer, October 1st at the Empire State Plaza, KomenNENY.org/race for registration. Interim Healthcare, celebrating 45 years of in-home care, supports the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy's 17 Capital Region Preserves, hiking and outdoor activities, interimhealthcare.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, presenting the Fresh Grass Festival, featuring Old Crow Medicine Show, Roseanne Cash, The Devil Makes Three, and the infamous String Dusters, more than 50 bands, through September 18th, freshgrass.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted, dairy, and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Good morning and welcome back. I think we have fixed the issue at hand. So, Alan, people can hear you. They're just going to hear you very loudly. So, welcome back.
Hey, Jody, do you know what an FLW is? A heavy FLW?
Yes.
It's a famous last word.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. You worried
in
me.
In this case, I think it's all fixed.
Okay, good. We're all good. Well, I hope we're good.
That's
so
great.
People can hear you now. All right.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the break to find out what they were just talking about.
That's all right. Okay. You're all right. Well, let us talk about the. Did anybody else want to say anything else about the what was going on with the latest polls, or can we move on to the birther issue?
We can move on to the birther issue.
Oh,
because
yippee.
We haven't spent enough time. We haven't spent enough time on that.
Well, I mean, so the weird thing about this is that, and Rosemary, you can fact check me as I go through this, but. Really, since the campaign went in full swing and he became a candidate, he has refused to talk about that as if it didn't exist, and refused questions, batted away, which is very unlike him on all other issues where he would be very outspoken on everything and kind of try to prove his point. So yesterday, I don't know when the actual interview was done. Was it done yesterday with the Washington Post?
That was yesterday, but it really began last week when he talked to Chris Matthews. And that's Chris Matthews has been drumming this up on cable television.
And he kept on deflecting it.
Yep.
Finally, with the Washington Post, he said, "I'm not ready to answer that. I don't want to answer that. I'm not ready to answer that." And then they went and said, "Well, your campaign and Kellyanne Conway, who is your campaign manager, says that you believe that he was born in the United States. Mike Pence believes that the president was born in the United States." And he says, "Well, she's entitled to her opinion."
Yeah, she can say what she wants.
And she can say what she wants, which was an odd thing to say, considering it was that she was quoting him and trying. So then you get the idea, of course, that, well, he didn't really want to say
it's just like the mix-up with his health and what he was going to say or not say, or what documents he was going to bring or not bring to Dr. Oz. I think this is a propaganda method that Vladimir Putin uses. He doesn't care what you think he thinks the truth is. He just wants you all flummoxed about where does he stand on the birther issue. Because all the time you're doing that, back in the back of all of our heads is the first Black president really legitimate? That's the evil message that he's getting into this race.
Yep.
Alan?
That's right. That's right. I think Rosemary's right. I think Barbara's on this thing. I think there is a whole, racist message to this campaign. And by the way, we just had a lovely letter from the head of the Alan Chartok, Get Alan Chartok Off of the Air group, Lisa, who says, "Don't fix Alan's mic." Lovely. That's why Joe sometimes says, "We'd like to hear from some of you."
That's right. That's right. So the question is, does this go away? Because we don't really, to your point, Rosemary, we don't know where this is right now, do we?
Well, I was watching Morning Joe this morning, and they were talking about it extensively, including with the journalist who wrote the article, did the interview and wrote the article. That's Robert Costa. And they're saying that they think he's going to say something about it today. But one of the things that they said, and I can't exactly replicate the turn of phrase, but the point that Joe was making and how he responds to the question, it's like deflection of that is damning. Like, well, I really don't know if he was born in the United States. He could have been or he couldn't have been. And I'm remembering Eugene Robinson, who's a distinguished Black journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, was on, as he often is. And he said, Scarborough said, it's like me saying, well, I don't know if Eugene Robinson has robbed 100 banks in Washington, D.C. He could have or he couldn't have. Well, you raise the idea.
I think it's even more sinister because he's saying, I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Yes.
Which raises the idea that, you know, all those mythical people that he sent to Hawaii to check it out, that he's still working on it and he'll have an announcement.
There's an investigation underway.
Yeah, I think it's all very, this is a slick marketer who knows exactly what he's doing, and I think that's what's on it.
An evil genius.
More sinister than you say. Yes.
Yeah, an
yes.
evil genius.
So
yes.
Do you think that is there dissension in the ranks between Kellyanne Conway and Trump over this issue, or do you think she's part of the evil genius?
Well, what I would say is that They know that it's potentially bad politics for him to be doing it this way. But I think that there's always, it's from my, you know, observations within this campaign, there's always been a tension between what's politically expedient and savvy and what's like working in crazy Trump world.
Okay, I have a slightly different theory. I don't think you're wrong, but slightly different theory. I think Kellyanne Conway is going to go to hell for what she's doing, which is that she has taken
now
this.
Now stop that.
I do. This is because it's completely cynical and business. She's doing this for money and her own fame. She has taken a candidate who's wacky, but as we've seen from the polls, has this appeal. And she's learning how to work with that to make what his unacceptable statements and beliefs more palatable.
Right.
So she's figured it out. She did it with health, and now she's doing it with
this birther
issue.
I don't disagree with you on that. I don't disagree.
It's the producers.
Well, I do want to disagree. Listen, if you sent every single person to hell who has practiced this brand of politics, there would be no room left.
Good. Hell's a big place. Send them.
No, Rosemary. Rosemary, this is not civil discussion. And I think that jumps the track. I do. You can feel that way, but I think it devalues the level of discussion. She's a political pro. That's what she is.
We have to take a break. We're late, so let's go to the break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the panel. When last we left you, we were talking about who has a ticket to hell and who doesn't. And so you wanted to say...
Yeah, I want to make one last point. Alan is upset with me for saying someone is evil. But I think what Kellyanne Conway...
I did not. Not true. I said that you said she should go to hell. That is different from...
She's evil. She should go to hell. I repeat it. And the reason I say it is because what she's doing is deeply wrong. She is for hire, making a hateful message acceptable. She's doing it for money and fame. And it's that sort of behavior is exactly why people in this country have come to hate politicians. That's the only way you change a country is to get involved in politics. And she's turning off so many people with it. She is making a hateful person seem acceptable.
I have had my say. I know that there are people out there who think that Hillary should go where you said to go. I don't think it helps the discussion, the civility of the discussion, to go into that genre. So that's the end of it, as far as I'm concerned. You can say she's evil. There are people who think Hillary is evil and she should go to jail. This doesn't help the conversation.
I'm not sure that making those false equivalencies does either. I think Hillary was right, and I wish she had not apologized for saying half those people, including Kellyanne, are in a basket of deplorables.
Ah, but she did apologize, and that was the
only for saying half, Alan. Only for saying half.
What'd you say?
Only for the part about saying half.
But she did it. It was dumb. I'm going to vote for her. I think she's terrific. But I'm telling you, there are people in this country, about half of them, and about a big proportion of those who are willing to say really bad things about Hillary Clinton. And that doesn't help the conversation.
I haven't heard them restraining themselves.
Well, there are those who do and those who don't.
Barbara?
I was just wondering if we had any letters.
Oh, Alan, go with the letters.
God, do we have... And Michelle Kuziak says, Dear Roundtable, I've listened to Alan's interview with Jill Stein. For the most part, I thought that Alan fairly gave her a form to describe a platform. However, Alan was rather dismissive of a campaign and a couple of key points. You're not going to win, so what game are you playing at? If Alan is going to continue to pat himself on the back for giving Stein an interview, I might just lose it. Oh, and that's Mike, not Michelle. That's Michael. I'm so sorry. And Trump and the Republican code words. Bill in Kinderhook says, Trump's birther remarks about the president are a continuation of a long Republican tradition of bigoted and divisive rhetoric. It began with Nixon and continued with great white hopes like Reagan, Giuliani, and the Bushes. The regulars down at the gun and ammo store eat it up. Bill in Kinderhook. And Michael says, despair. If this man is elected and with the polls tied, according to the New York Times, seems very possible, the same man that Colin Powell has called a national disgrace, then I, for one, will be ashamed to be an American. It will be a victory for ignorance and vulgarity and another sign of the apocalypse. Socrates called ignorance the only evil. And Robert says, Alan is wrong. Rosemary's point that Trump's clinical, cynical enablers should go to hell has strong biblical support. Timothy says, Donald Trump's remarkable health report. It's worth noting that with the release of Donald's health report, there was no mention of Donald's foot problems, which following multiple academic deferments, ultimately excused him from military duty during the Vietnam draft era. And something happened here. Something bad happened here. Don't know what it was.
I just want to say about the health report, that it was pointed out, I think even here yesterday, that or whatever day you talked about it this week, that was a very limited report. Mm-hmm. It was not an overtime report. It was like the report of one exam. So the fact that he had
But it wasn't even a report of one exam, Barbara.
Yeah, it's a letter.
You're quite right. It was a report of I'm taking a statin. Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Maureen says, "Hi, panel. I don't hear enough of the transformative election result that we would have a woman president of in the U.S. My goodness, why is this not a selling point? Anybody on that one?
She's right.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to talk about having the first woman president because the first response is usually, oh, that's no reason to vote for someone because they're a man or a woman. Well, apparently it is. We've never done a woman before. So, yeah.
Okay, Tom says, civility, a lack of, and that's why I've noticed coming from Rosemary more and more these days, she's allowed her emotion to overrule her intellect. Barack Obama's mother was a U.S. citizen, says Mary Ellen. If Donald Trump's daughter gave birth in Paris, France, would that child be entitled to be a U.S. citizen without applying for citizenship through the immigration process, etc.? Barack Obama's mother was a U.S. citizen with a long, long heritage in the U.S. It seems to me that the mother's status should confer citizenship on her child. But you know what? We know that this has long been a matter of contention with presidential candidates. And who was it in this election, Joe? Do you remember?
Cruz. Cruz was born a Cuban father in Canada.
But it's also the racial underpinnings of that. Any white person born anywhere is more qualified to be a U.S. citizen than the child of a white mother and an African father.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. John says... roundtable discussion polling. Good morning, roundtable. The distressing fact that this election is so close seems to indicate that the American voter is unable to see through the obvious lies and distortion of Trump and his campaign. Doug says, I wonder if the polls accurately forecast how African Americans, other minorities are going to vote. Is it really 40% of this group will vote for Trump? Who's heard that? 40% of African Americans.
I don't know where he got that. I wish we could find out. Because Trump said in this interview, I think the Robert Costa interview, that his support from African Americans is skyrocketing like a rocket ship or something like that.
Rising like a rocket.
Yeah, and the thing is that I want to see the numbers. I don't know that we have the same kind of numbers that are, available.
He might actually be right, Barbara. If you start at 1%, you go up to 4%. That's a huge percentage increase.
And people can't see I'm laughing silently. Yeah, 0 to 4, like a rocket.
Okay. Alan says, Catherine, I am completely perplexed as to how in the world Trump is running neck and neck. Trump's endless inappropriate behavior being ignored is frightening. Hillary's long record of appropriate and helpful behavior being ignored is frightening. And that's from Catherine. And Kermit says, neither candidate has spoken about taking big money out of the political process. On that most important topic, there is no difference. Consequently, nothing substantive will change. David says, Clinton's deplorable remark was a mistake because the number of Trump signs that I see driving around is up threefold since. Mm-hmm.
I think she outmarketed him for the first time. For the very first time, she made a remark that stuck the same way that little Marco or Crooked Hillary has stuck. She got him this time.
Yeah. You know what, though? When Trump says something that outrageous, it seems to work for him. And in this case, I don't know that what Hillary said and then apologized for did the same thing as the Trump outrageous remarks. What do you think?
Some people said that she should not have apologized, that she just should have stuck with it. And if we get to this story that I had suggested that we look at from Dana Milbank that was in the Washington Post a few days ago, he just goes chapter, line, and verse with the statistics. The statistics absolutely demonstrate what she was saying.
She went too low, he said. Yeah. And I loved, on the entertainment side, Jimmy Fallon had a wonderful feature on all the possibilities they might have used, like tubs of trolls, hat boxes of hatred, and then before they settled on basket of deplorables. I think it's a great...
Did she coin that phrase? Because in the Dana Milbank article, it said that it kind of harked back to Indian, you know, South Asian.
Oh,
it sounds like
know.
It was really interesting. You know,
I read
thinking,
that, but I don't remember
And I'm trying to
article.
Think, as a literature, you know... person. I'm trying to think, like, so which British novel was that in?
Joseph says Hawaii. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. We'll have time for a letter or two, and then we'll get back to what we were just talking about. Go ahead.
Okay, Joseph says, perhaps Mr. Trump isn't aware that Hawaii is a state. Get it? Okay, and Doug says, Doug says, I wonder if the polls accurately forecast how African-Americans, other minorities, are going to vote. Is it really? Okay, we did that one. But here's the issue that I was going to bring up with that. It isn't that we don't know when we poll African-Americans how, you know, how out of balance it is. And that's a bad term. But how many African-Americans are going to vote for Hillary? We see the numbers are huge. The question is, who will turn out? Right, Barbara?
Indeed. And that remains to be seen. I know that in the earlier stages of this campaign, they talked about how he had no real field operation and many of these states, but I don't know if that's still the case. It's hard to build a field operation robustly at the last minute, but I think it will be interesting. And we also know that, at least according to one article in the New York Times, that's just one thing we know about black millennials, that they're not enthusiastic about either candidate.
Mm-hmm. Let's take
a
break.
Bradley, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll return, and we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from DeMarchand Hudson, featuring fall fashions, shoes, and accessories for men and women, celebrating their 20th anniversary, thanking their customers for their support. Open every day, DeMarchand.com, and on Facebook. SoCo Creamery, featuring blueberry honey lavender ice cream with wild blueberries from Maine, local Berkshire honey, and New England dairy. SoCoCreamery.com. Shedman, building and delivering backyard storage sheds and gazebos throughout the WAMC listening area, in stock inventory in New Lebanon and Brunswick, New York. Shedman.com. And the Eric Carle Museum, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating children's books through exhibitions, art making, story times, and theater. On view now, The Art of Robert McCloskey, including Make Way for Ducklings and Blueberries for Sal, carlemuseum.org.
Yes. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. I want to get into, we were talking about the Dana Milbank article in the Washington Post, and I want to talk a little bit about that. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Few people embrace the racist label, so let's help them. If you are very enthusiastic about a candidate, Dana Milbank writes, who has based his campaign on scapegoating immigrants, Latinos, and African Americans, talked of banning Muslims from the country, hesitated to disown the Ku Klux Klan, and employed anti-Semitic imagery, well, you might be a racist. But if you are holding your nose and supporting Trump only because you think him better than Clinton, that doesn't put you in the basket of deplorables. The new Washington Post ABC News poll finds two groups roughly equal. 46% of Trump supporters say they are very enthusiastic about his candidacy. The rest were somewhat or not terribly enthusiastic. Barbara.
It's just absurd, but absurd and also very, very significant. I mean, absurd could be frivolous and lighthearted. This is dire and dangerous. The reason I had wanted us to look at or discuss this article from our by Dana Milbank is that he cites research from a few different sources that look at the electorate and indeed show that those who support Trump and those who are Republicans, identify themselves as Republicans, are more likely to be racist. And the questions that are asked, just horrifying questions to me, of course, as an African-American, are, do you think that black people are lazier than white people? And also, do you think they're less intelligent? And so this yeah. particular study, this particular poll, shows that the tendency is that if you're a Trump supporter, you're much more likely to think negatively on at least one of those vectors than if you're a Democrat. And it's also true if you're a Republican. So in 2012, 62% of white people thought that at least one of the those that black people had at least one of those attributes, either lazy or unintelligent. In 2008, it was only 45%. So in 2008, 45% of white people who were polled thought that black people were lazier or less intelligent. In 2012, 4 years later, 62% of white people thought that black people were lazier and less intelligent. So, and that's during the Obama presidency. And look at what Trump has made out of that.
Wow.
So where do we go from here on that then?
Well, I want I just wanted to read, if I may, Joe, one letter from Stephen. He said, it's now 9:44. It's not. It's 9:50 now. The panel spent the entire program speaking about Donald Trump. Is there nothing else important enough to discuss in the world? And as far as I'm concerned, no apologies, Stephen. None. This is a fight for the soul of America and the future of America. And you're not going to get an apology out of me for spending this kind of time on this guy. So that's how I feel. Wanted to mention that. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
Just to continue, since I've done my homework and written down some of these quotes, Dana Milbank also points out in his article, he's written about this topic before, that is looking at the Trump electorate. He said, as I wrote previously earlier, Pew Research found that Trump supporters were significantly less likely than other Americans and supporters of other Republican presidential candidates to think that racial and ethnic diversity improves the United States. So, as I said, if the shoe fits. It's so hard, and I say this as a person who was a candidate twice and ran for office twice and was successful twice, of course, at the micro level of being on our Albany Common Council. It's so difficult, though, to be a candidate, because I wasn't just a candidate, I also served. And so for 8 years, I had to think so carefully about everything that I said, not because I was censoring myself, but I had to think about how will this be heard. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying it's easy, but by any means, none of us would think that it's easy. But I believe that Clinton was in a position. She was talking to a very friendly audience. It was a Human Rights Campaign audience, I believe. And she said what Dana Milbank has shown to be statistically justified. Yeah.
Trump has stirred up a lot of this, but he also had quite the background. Those numbers go back to 2012, as you say, to the start of the Barack Obama administration, and he has been safe in making every one of his outrageous statements. And that's something that really is deplorable.
And the birtherism, I mean, it all ties, all these stories tie in together with each other.
They do.
Yeah.
Barbara, you're going to be at the St. Rose on Monday. What are you doing?
I'm going to be doing a panel that's kind of on the topic that we're discussing in reverse. It's called Transforming Our Community, Protest, Activism, and Resistance. It's going to be at the Hubbard Sanctuary, which is 955 Madison Avenue. It's from 1:15 to 2:30, and then at 2:30 they serve refreshments. So,
if you set your watch and get ready, go. Now we know when to show up.
Yeah, some other good panelists too. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, let's go to. Let's go back to some letters, Alan. A lot of people weighing in. Let's find out what's on their mind.
Well, in the Department of Self-Serving, Denise writes a really nice letter. Tell Lisa there wouldn't be a WAMC to take Alan off of if not for Alan. That's a little overblown, but I appreciate the support. Let's go to Leslie. America deserves Trump. American deserves Trump. As a black person living in the U.S. for almost 60 years, I'm fed up. This country is a sick country. Even if he loses, he has poisoned the country. If he did not have kids, I'd say let him win. Jim says, please talk about the polling data. I don't know anybody under 30 years old who's been polled, nor do I know anybody under 30 who's been has a home telephone and landline, the predominant polling venue. And
that's not really true.
Billy
anymore.
Says,
that's not true.
And statistically, it doesn't mean anything that we don't know anybody or have not ourselves been
polled. It's been said over that because our people don't have landlines anymore, that the polling data is skewed. But but pollsters have been working on new methods and have been incorporating cell phones and email and text into their polling, and that's been largely debunked. But
I think that's true. Billy says, sorry, just tuning in late start today. He, I guess it's Trump, probably represents us of more than anyone else, the ugly American. Tim says, which is the right path? Do demonize a demonizer? Do you use the same tools the demonizer use? Or do you remain civil and let the bully rule the program? If you use the bully's tools, he will scream loudly about your offensive behavior and act like a victim. But if you don't, then he rules the news cycle, and his language becomes the truth, though through unchallenged repetition. And Hank says about the deplorables remark. She didn't apologize about the word. She apologized about the percentage. All right. Leslie says, for your information, previous Twitter quote was from 2014. I have no idea what that means. Does anybody else?
No.
David says, Hillary Clinton's mistake. While I will not be voting for Hillary Clinton, I believe she's made a major mistake by personally taking on Trump. Doing so has turned the campaign into a mano-a-mano battle. She should have remained above the mud and blood, campaigning on what she believes, letting the others attack Trump. I cannot understand why she's taken a path so fraught with landmines. And that's from a guy, by the way, who's giving her advice, who's not going to vote for her. Get it? And then Robert says, Kellyanne Conway is simply a liar for hire. And Leslie says, to quote Trump on Twitter, attention all hackers, you are hacking everything else, so please hack Obama's college records, destroyed, and check place of birth. Discuss.
Oh, my God.
But that's what that person's quoting Trump.
I didn't realize he had done that. That's
That's
like saying to Putin, you know, give us, you know, hack Hillary and give us her emails.
Right. No, he disbelieves that that Obama deserves the degrees that he earned. he doesn't believe that he got into college legitimately. He doesn't believe that he, you know, he got, well, you know, like most black people who seek and get higher education, we got in on a free pass.
Yeah, lazy criminal guy that he is. How'd he get that far, right?
That's exactly it.
Jeez.
Peter says Trump, he's not an evil genius, but he has a genius for evil. And Denise says,
that's what I meant. I didn't think, no, I wasn't talking about his intellect.
John says, why they like Trump. Hi, based on a letter to the editor I saw, the supporters of Trump simply overlook the negatives, admire his fiery personality, and believe what they want to believe about making the country great and solving all the problems of the same ones Hillary could, and it says alive, but I don't know what that means. Okay. All right. Hank says, last night, Trump spokesman says Trump believes Obama was born in the U.S., tries to deflect any controversy before the debate. And Steve says, it has been well documented that Hillary Clinton's campaign initially raised the Obama birth certificate issue when she ran against Obama for the presidency. Why not ask Hillary?
That's a myth that's been debunked many times. The Hillary campaign did not raise that as an issue.
Well, there was some
Robert
tape.
Says.
Sorry, there was some supporters,
but they have been disavowed. Hillary
right.
Clinton
there was
is.
A taped interview of her giving what was considered to be a weak answer in response to that question. I heard it this morning for the first time. I didn't think it was particularly weak.
No.
I mean, I don't quite understand. Yeah, but
I mean, there's nothing in her record that indicates she thinks he's an illegitimate president. She served under him.
No, I think that's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
All right, we have 30 seconds. Go ahead, Ellen.
Good morning, Roundtable. What the New York Times poll shows is just how darn, I'm changing the word, gullible the American citizenry may be, cutting taxes primarily for corporations and rich folks, and eliminating trillions from government revenue and services, stripping away regulations, and opening up more public lands for drilling will absolutely be transformative, but not in any good way for we the people. Dan from Altamont.
All right, we are out of time. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Monday for another Roundtable panel. Alan, thank you. Rosemary, thank you. Barbara, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll continue after this.